pray for wisdom, Lord. God, give me wisdom. I love you and I bless your holy name because of who you are, for what you've done for me. I wouldn't be here tonight. I'd be nothing. I'd have nothing if it weren't for thee. You've given me everything I have. In thy name I pray. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your holy name. Amen. Well, I thought I'd speak just a minute or two from Scriptures. If you'd like, turn to the book of Colossians, chapter number 1. And verse number 13. Colossians 1:13. The books of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians are what's called the heart of the Pauline epistles. And the reason they're so important is because the Apostle Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles, who explains the cross, who explains the dispensations for us, and sets us straight on the second coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are fully before you right now with the birth of Christ and folks celebrating that. And we know that in Matthew, and we also know that in Luke, they both give a genealogy. And Matthew's genealogy is the genealogy of the king, traces him back to David. The genealogy of Luke is the genealogy of the man who traces him all the way back to God the Father. So the genealogy is very important. But the book of Colossians deals with Christ on a far different level than birth. The book of Colossians deals with Christ as who he is right now. The Lord Jesus Christ as he is exalted at the right hand of the Father. That's very important for us. A lot of folks like to keep Christ in a manger, and that's beautiful, but that's not where he is. A lot of folks like to carry a crucifix around, keep him on that. He's not on the crucifix. Some would like to keep him in the tomb. There's an awful lot that'd like to do that. You better believe it. There's an awful lot that'd like to keep him in the tomb. He's not in the tomb. He's not here, he said. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's alive, as he said. And he goeth before you into Galilee, and he met with them there and taught them. So the Apostle Paul here in the book of Colossians just all of a sudden just begins to explode with remarkable revelations about the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in verse 13. He said he's delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If you'll notice, redemption's connected with the blood. There is no redemption apart from the blood. So the new Bibles take blood out. Notice it says in verse 15, the image of the invisible God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the restoration of the image that Adam lost, as we're studying in Sunday school. He is the direct image of God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, they're in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. So somebody said, well, I thought he made the earth for us. No, he just loaned it to us. He made everything. He made it for himself. Ultimately, it will bring glory to God. The purpose in the existence of everything that breathes is to bring glory to God. And the purpose of the existence that everything that is to bring glory to God. And that's the purpose of it. God didn't make the earth for us. He simply gave us a place to dwell in for a while. It was made for him. The Bible said all things were made by him and for him. That's pretty good. That helps me get my bearings straight. That helps me locate myself and find out where I am and what it's about. Notice it says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. My, isn't that a remarkable thing? Isn't that an amazing thing? We get into the structure and nucleus of an atom, get on down to electrons, protons, neutrons, and now they've got things even smaller than that, all this stuff they're talking about, and the Bible says it's all held together by him. And so they decided they're going to split the atom. When they did, we got in a mess, didn't we? Blew up Hiroshima, Nagasaki, a whole lot of people died, and now people are scared to death of a nuclear war. It's still held together by him. And he holds not only the physical creation together, he holds the spiritual creation together. All things. That includes angels, principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, seraphim, cherubim. And by the Bible says that everything was made for him and by him, and then it says that he holds it all together. Now that pretty well gets it settled, doesn't it? If he made everything and he holds it all together and it's for him and by him, and then he holds it all together, then that's my worldview. That's my worldview. That's my worldview. This world is his footstool. Heaven is his throne and his footstool. The Bible said he's the head of the body, the church. That's us. who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one to rise from the dead, never to die again, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's number one. He's first. You can always tell where a church is if it glorifies Christ. You can always tell where your life is if you're glorifying Christ. You can always tell what your motive is if Jesus Christ is the object of your life. The Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He didn't say for me to live is success. He didn't say for me to live is money. He didn't say for me to live is to build churches. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If a man will find his place in Christ, the work of God will find its place. That's what's important. Christ is what matters. The Lord Jesus. Christmas has no meaning without the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine somebody trying to celebrate Christmas doesn't know the Lord. While this is a time it becomes a materialistic orgy. And a lot of folks go in debt that it'll take them a year to pay themselves out of. We got folks still owe for 2007 Christmas. It means nothing without Jesus Christ. It means nothing. It is less than nothing. And so he says, by me all things consist. He's the firstborn, beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And that's one of those powerful scriptures. It's the kind of scripture you need to take, go home, and meditate on. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Bible said he didn't give him the measure of the Holy Spirit by measure. The fullness of the Holy Spirit was in him like no one else ever had been or ever will be. So therefore, he walked in the Spirit, taught in the Spirit, lived in the Spirit, breathed in the Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Jesus Christ lived by the Holy Ghost. And he said, in him all fullness dwelled. That fullness has not only to do with the fact that in him dwelled the fullness of the Godhead, but he was the fullness of the Godhead. Not only was he dwelling in him, but every place he was, there was God. God in all of his fullness. In plain words, there couldn't have been any greater manifestation of God than Jesus Christ. It couldn't have been any greater. God could not have done more for us than he did. When Jesus Christ came into this world, there couldn't have been a greater one than him. That's utterly impossible. He is it. He's the summation of all things. He's the end. There's no greater. Alpha and the Omega, first and last. Use the first letter, last letter of the Greek alphabet. Aleph, Tau, if you want to go into Hebrew. That's it. First and last. That's it. There's no more. Outside of him, nothing exists. See? Nothing can exist outside of God. That's what you just read in Colossians. So the Apostle Paul told them, he said, in him we live and move and have our being. Our being is not associated with stuff we do. Our being is not associated with what we say. Our being is not associated with people we associate with. Our being is associated with the one we know. And if we know him right, we understand what we are. And what you are is far more important than what you do. If you get what you are correct, what you do will always be correct. Get the R right first. Most folks put the cart before the horse. They concentrate on what they're doing instead of what they are. The power of the Holy Spirit of God is how we ought to live the Christian life. In him we live and move and have our being. My identity is not as how I relate to you. My identity has nothing to do with the way the world accepts me. My identity has nothing to do with the way I'm portrayed in the news media or among religious circles or this. That's not my identity. In him we live and move and have our being. I am what I am because I am in Jesus Christ, and what he says I am is what I am. Amen. 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 What did he say you were, preacher? What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. He said, therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Sonship is a very personal. Sonship goes way beyond simply spinning salvation. We're talking about church membership. Sonship is a very personal thing. Sonship. My. When I get down in the closet and shut the door and say, Father, I'm not saying Father's the world says Father. The world teaches God's the Father of all. He is in the sense that he's the Creator, yes, but he's not their Father, he's their Savior. They'll never know him in that spiritual sense, sonship. So when I say, Father, he says, Gabriel, my son's talking to me. Now, hold on just a minute. And what have you got to say, son? Every last one of us have a direct connection to the Father that cannot be broken. That's yours. Have you talked to him today? Did you start the day out by calling him Father? Remember that. Our Father. Amen. In him I live and move and have my being, my identity, my purpose in life, where I came from, where I'm going. If I didn't have Jesus Christ tonight, I'd have no reason. What in the world are we in here for? Good night. Turn it into a bingo parlor and do whatever you want to do, because without him there is no life, there's no future, there's no resurrection, there's no hope, there's no salvation. Jesus Christ is the absolute reason for everything. Everything is judged by him. The Bible said God's going to judge the secrets of men according to my gospel. And the gospel he's talking about is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter number 3, he said he'll judge them according to Jesus Christ. He becomes the standard of judgment of everything. Isn't that an amazing thing? It doesn't make a difference if you're a Hindu, if you're a Buddhist, if you're a Christian, or if whatever you are, if you're Mohammedan, he's going to judge you by Jesus Christ. Amen. Doesn't matter if you're from Baltimore, Maryland, or if you're from Phoenix, Arizona, or if you're from London, England, or if you're from Madrid, Spain, he's going to judge you by Jesus Christ, according to his gospel. So in him we live and move and have our being. That means after we fold up all the trees and take down the garland and they quit singing the Christmas carols, he's still God. He's still Lord. He's still alive. And you can walk in him just as sweetly and purely and securely and truly Monday as you do today. And I'm going to tell you the truth. If your walk in him is what it ought to be, you'll be as excited Monday about your walk in him. When you get up Monday morning, you'll get up and the sun strikes you in the face and you look up into the heavens and say, "My Father, hallelujah to God, Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. I love you, Lord." And hear him sweet voice speak back to your heart. "I love you too, son." Have you ever heard that voice in your heart say, "Son, son"? That's not the devil calling you son. "Son, my son." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure usually a person will go way out of their way for their son. You know, you can mess with me and mess with my stuff, but when you start messing around with my son or my daughter, whatever the case is, then it gets real personal. Sonship, that's very important. That's a big deal. When I open up the Bible, Father, I'm opening up your book. This is the Father's book. When I walk into the house of God, I have come into the Father's house. And when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I accepted the Father's Son into my soul. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you. I can call on your name tonight. You've been good to me. I used to be a child of hell. I used to be full of hell. I used to be full of hell, that all I could think of was hell. All ever came out of my mouth was hell. All that was in my heart was hell. I would have never found you. Never. Didn't know where to look. Wouldn't have known. But you came to me. And I bless you for that tonight. I bless your name, Holy One. I bless you. I exalt thee and lift thee up. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, Lord. Thou art worthy. I bless these dear folk who came out tonight. Bless every one of them. Bless them as they go to their families and to the various places wherever they go to meet at this time of the year. Bless them as they travel, as they journey. Bless them as their family comes together. Bless them, Holy One. Bring us back into this place Sunday morning safe. Let us come before you with praise and thanksgiving for who you are, Holy One. Thou art God, and beside you there's nothing. In Jesus' name I pray. And for Jesus' sake, I ask it. And amen.